welcome back to Jewels on the Hustle. This week's going to be a little different. I don't have any guests on just because it's a loaded week. I got some good news handed to me the other day and some bad news handed to me. I will discuss both. I just had a birthday that passed, and my bad news was actually delivered the night before, so not the greatest thing to hear, but I will dive into that in a sec. Thank you guys for all the positive feedback on the last podcast with Hannah Berner. I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. It's so nice to see former athletes be able to, you know, continue that confidence and, you know, transfer the skills that they learned from pro tennis or college tennis to their future life endeavors. So it's really nice to see. And thank you for all the beautiful comments and subscriptions. As always, guys, be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you know when I post my next episode. We will have some awesome guests to come. Leave a review if you're feeling extra nice today. Anyway, let's get started. Okay, so I never know if you're supposed to deliver the bad news or the good news. So like when someone asks you, do you want to hear the bad thing that happened or the good thing that happened? I never really know. Sometimes I'm like, I want to get the bad news out of the way. But then sometimes I'm like, oh crap, I don't want to know what the bad news is. Let's start with the good news. But then you think sometimes that maybe if you get the bad news first, you know, you could feel better with the good news after. But anyway, I want to start with the good news this time just because we are having a U.S. Open. How crazy. Who would have thought? I would have never thought, honestly, with the way things are going in 2020, having a U.S. Open in New York. In New York. There were, you know, talks about moving the U.S. Open to California this year, not having it at all, having a smaller draw. There's been so many different rumors. But what we're having is the main draw of the U.S. Open starting the end of August into September. Only main draw, no qualifying, no fans. Weird, huh? The thing about the U.S. Open is that what makes it so special, and especially as a New Yorker, I know this, the fans are rowdy. They're electric. They're just so energetic. I mean, this group of people that come to the U.S. Open, like no other, honestly. Look at Wimbledon. Wimbledon's fans are very classy. They tend to wear white. They're very proper. Very proper. And they're just very, like, no noise, no crazy noises, no rowdiness. And then you come to the U.S. Open, it's like anything goes. It's like a circus, honestly, but it's hilarious. I'll never forget last year when I was at Daria Kazatkina's first round match against Joanna Konta. You had someone chanting, Russian Tiger, Russian Queen, Daria Kazatkina. That's honestly something you would not hear at Wimbledon, but that's why you gotta love it. You gotta love the fans. The fans are what makes the U.S. Open so exciting. And you hear the greats, Novak Djokovic, Federer, Serena Williams, they always say the U.S. Open fans are like no other. I will never forget last year I took on the media side of the U.S. Open because I was out with my injury and I was doing a pre-tournament interview with Bianca Andreescu, who ended up, you know, going through and winning the whole tournament. She's like, Jules, I've never played in Arthur Ashe Stadium. I've never played a night session at Arthur Ashe Stadium. She said, it would be so cool to be able to do that this year. And I told her, look, B, like, you're playing so well. Just believe. Like, honestly, you have all the tools. And she was coming off some big big results earlier in the year. I told her, like, it's not far-fetched for her. And what do you know? Like, she ends up playing on Ash a bunch of times. She played her first night session, and she wins the U.S. Open, beating Serena Williams in the final. Just hearing her talk about this before the tournament started was just so interesting. I feel like for a lot of pros, they know that they're playing super well, but they never have an expectation to win the tournament. So I feel like when a pro wins a tournament, it's like they know that they're playing well, but no one ever says, oh, I'm feeling like I'm going to win this one. Like, if they say it, that, you know, it's probably like, you know, you never know if you're going to win a tournament. So if they're saying it, it's just like feeling confident and stuff like that. But Bianca, she was feeling good about her game. She was winning a lot and she was optimistic. She's like, I know I can do it, but I don't think I will do it. And no one ever thinks they're going to do it. That's just kind of how you stay humble and stick to the process and stuff like that. But it was just so awesome to see, starting, you know, with Katie Vollinets in round one, and then how she made it all the way to the final through to Serena Williams, and then the moment when she went down on her knees when she won the U.S. Open. Guys, like, when I was at that final in the stands, I was actually, you know, I was actually in Bianca Andreescu's suite watching that match with her parents and, oh no, her parents, sorry, were in her box, but her, like, friends and fans and stuff like that were in the suite. So we were watching from there. When I tell you, you cannot hear a thing because it was so loud in there. My ears were buzzing when I left at the end of the day. It was so loud. But then what does that connect to? It connects to the amazing fans. So a US Open without fans is going to be bizarre. Another thing that will make this year's US Open so interesting is that everyone's limited to a plus one. Basically, that's how I think of it. Like, a plus one, you can only bring one person with you. So look at someone like Roger Federer. He has a whole entourage. What is he going to do? He's going to pick one kid to bring with him. He's going to choose his wife over his kids, or choose his massage therapist over his physio. Like, one person can come with you. Now, if you told me I can bring one person, I'd be thrilled, because that's still one more than I usually bring. But if you tell someone like Roger Federer that you only have one person come with them, that's not only a big decision for him, it's also like, wow. To me, it feels like if everyone just brings one person, everyone's kind of like on the same playing field, because the more people you bring is usually the more money you have. And if everyone kind of has the same type of recovery, because they have less resources, obviously, less recovery, less massages, less gym work. I mean, everyone's kind of on the same playing field. What I ask myself is, will the result be different? Will one of the greats still be able to come through? Because you have to think about it. These greats, they're able to bring a whole entourage, a whole team, a whole support system. Now, not only does this support system make you feel better physically, it helps you mentally. Having a family travel with you makes you feel at home away from home. So it's honestly a big deal. Money plays a huge thing in tennis. It's going to be interesting to see how things play out. Will the results be different? Will it be one of the greats in men's tennis making it to the end? You guys know my take. I feel like men's tennis is a little more consistent. At the end of every Grand Slam, you usually have one of the greats in the finals. Sorry, two of the greats. And then in women's tennis, it's more, not random, but it's different every time, really. So it'll be very interesting to see. What do you guys think of that, actually? I'm interested to hear your take. Okay, so now that you've heard the good news, the bad news, and it's kind of, it affects me and any New York pros. So due to budget reasons, the USTA in New York is officially shutting down. Like, let that sink in for a sec. So you guys know that tennis is not abundant up here in the Northeast. In Florida, if an academy shuts down, you're like, oh, there's another academy down the street. No big deal. But in New York, if you're going to shut down the USTA Center in Flushing Meadows, so where the US Open is held, where would the pros train? Like, it's a big problem. I got this news the night of June 12th, my birthday was June 13th, and I just remember looking at my phone, my jaw dropped, my nose flared, I was upset. That's my training facility. So a lot of people are okay with traveling, you know, or training away from home. For me, it's like I'm already traveling 2 to 3 weeks per month. I don't want to have to be on the road to train as well. I love my family. I love my friends. And of course, tennis is all about sacrifice, but we're still humans at the end of the day, and we do want to be around our friends and family. We're normal humans, yeah. So this is a big deal. You get so many amazing pros in New York. You got Christina McHale, Jamie Loeb, Christy Ahn, Varvara Lepachenko. There's so many. Jennifer Ellie. I'm missing a ton, but there's just so many great athletes. And this is a huge thing for us because we'll have to either find another place to train up in the Northeast or we'll have to move. So this is really upsetting to me. We have two other USTA locations, one in Carson, California, and the other in Orlando, Florida. So obviously both far away from New York. So the thing about New York training, especially growing up, it's very limited and it's expensive. The weather in New York is unpredictable, obviously. Unless it's the summer, it's typically nice out. But a lot of the year, tennis is played indoors. So some people are totally fine with going off to California, Florida to train at an academy. But for me, that was never an option. I always wanted to be up in New York and kind of weather the storm. So if you had me on the court playing from 9 to 10 p.m. on any given day, like that's a weird hour to play tennis, especially when you had school the next day and then you had to like wind down after practice, eat dinner, take a shower. Like it gets pretty late, but you couldn't like be picky. Whenever you got court time, you had to take advantage. For me, I feel like it really worked to my advantage because when I was on the court with my instructor, whether it was an hour, hour and a half, if I was playing with another girl, playing a practice match, whomever I was with, I was so laser focused and locked in on that practice. I barely took any drink breaks, actually. I was just so focused on that practice, which really translated onto the match court. I feel like I was so focused playing matches, and that's because of like how I've trained myself in practice, knowing that, look, I've only had an hour, hour and a half to practice. So now when I'm playing a match, I don't feel compelled to look around and kind of stall or waste time. You know, some girls are really good at losing the first set and then fighting back for the second and third. And there's actually a correlation to that. You see, sometimes these girls are ones that train in Florida or in outdoor settings where they've had unlimited amounts of times. They say, I train 6 hours a day, play on the tennis court for 6 hours a day. For me, that is unheard of. Maximum, I would get like an hour and a half on court. So as soon as I hit that match court, boom, I'm balling. You know what I'm saying? Or at least I try to ball out because that's all I know. All I know is to get on that court and focus. So my hustlers, that's my good news and my bad news. What do you guys think? Like, obviously so excited that we're having a US Open, but so disappointed that my training is cut in New York. This is crazy. Crazy times. 2020, what even are you? I don't know. This is so strange. It's funny because at the end of 2019, I'm like, okay, 2020, this is going to be my decade. 2020 to 2030, I'm going to just, you know, new me, fresh haircut. I cut a foot off my hair. I was like, fresh start, fresh jewels. Let's own this thing. Yet in 2020, I've had no control of anything whatsoever, but none of us have. And it's kind of interesting. Like, we're just writing our stories day by day, figuring things out. We're like in survival mode, just taking it one step at a time, trying to thrive, stay sane, and help each other out. So it's good and bad, I guess you can say. But tell me what you guys think about the US Open happening with no fans and a plus one only. Let me know what you guys think about my cut New York USTA program. I mean, obviously we have less people training in New York, but it doesn't mean that it should be cut out. It's still very important. We still have great, hardworking players training up there. But as always, guys, follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Jules Elbaba, at JulesElbaba. Subscribe to this podcast and leave a review. I would love to see what you guys have to say. But anyways, see you guys next time on Jules on the Hustle. Have a great weekend, everyone.